everybody. Cal Banyan here. This is Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc. with Meredith Locker. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm good. Hi, everybody. Hi, Cal.
Hey, so you know what? We've just finished last episode, the 10 keys to doing age regression. I'm so glad that we got that out, getting good feedback on that. That's the kind of stuff that causes me to get hate mail because, you know, there's people in this profession say, Cal, you give away too much. And now I can say, Meredith made me do it.
I am evil.
Yes. Yeah, we've decided that you're the hypno-gypsy, right? Because you're moving around and all that kind of stuff.
I am. I just keep moving. It's hard to get settled in L.A. I think it's just kind of a frenetic place.
You're really more of an Orange County kind of girl, aren't you?
I am. I think I'll be back in Orange County at some point soon.
That'd be okay with me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's see. Let me get a couple announcements in. If you guys and gals are watching this video anywhere else except CalBanyan.com. You got to go there now because right down below this video, that's where all the supporting text, graphics, and links are. And so go there right now. Just close this and wherever you are, just go there. And a couple of notes. This is probably going to be the last week, I don't know for sure, of our economic stimulus package. $300 off. That'll end without notice for the 5-Path DVD distance learning course. It's the 2.0. It's the latest, the newest. It's like 20 DVDs. There's some CDs. The manuals are all there on CDs, and you can have it. And if you're already certified by a nationally recognized organization like the National Guild of Hypnotists, and you want to get certification in 5-Path, that's the way you can do it. By the way, none of those weekend crash courses, you know, that some people give out, that doesn't count. You got to have at least 100 hours worth of training as a hypnotist or hypnotherapist to qualify for certification with 5-Path, because people have been asking me about that. Keep going to OurHypnoSpace.com because that's where we're streaming this right now. Next week we'll be doing another live recording, and I'll announce on our Yahoo groups and OurHypnoSpace the exact time so that when we're doing the recording of our episodes, you can type in stuff and you can watch us live and see what really goes on behind the scenes, like what Meredith is doing right now while I'm talking. It might surprise you. And also, let's see, make sure you check out the new NGH website. It is thehypnotistconvention.com. Find out why. If you're only going to go to one hypnotist convention all year long, you got to make it to the NGH convention at thehypnotistconvention.com. It's a community website, kind of like ourhypnospace.com, except that it's just from now until the convention. It's a chance for you to interact with the people who will be teaching at the conference, giving their talks and workshops. Find out what they're going to teach, ask any kind of questions, because I think that we can have one of the biggest turnouts we've ever had at this year's NGH convention. Also, are you open to another source of income? Would you like to make more money in your hypnosis office, or would you like to lose weight? Guess what? When you go out there and you market yourself, and if you are overweight, it makes it a little bit harder. If you want to lose weight, or if you want to add income to your hypnosis practice, or any other kind of practice you might have, it might be that you're a chiropractor, a medical practitioner, such as a physician, massage therapist, I will spill the beans. Just send me your email, send me an email, or send Meredith the email with a date I can give you a call, because I'll just call you, spill the beans, or Meredith will. Meredith, why don't you give them your email, because you'll spill the beans too, won't you?
I will. I would love to. Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com.
Beautiful. And I'm CalBanyan@hypnosiscenter.com. All right. You got any more announcements there, Meredith?
I don't, but you know what? I do want to say that we are getting to the point where we need some more questions. So please do send your feedback, send your questions to us. You can go to ourhypnospace.com and put them in the Ask Cal section, and I'll be pulling them off of there. You can put them into the feedback section on calbanyan.com underneath the video here. There's a spot where you can add feedback or put in questions, or you can email them to us directly. But we really, really like it because we're trying to create community if you do it in the ourhypnospace.com under Ask Cal. We like that a lot, don't we, Cal?
We sure do. Oh, one last announcement. I've got a course, the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy Certification Super Course with 5-Path and 7-Path is coming up in July. And of course, I know that you guys might be watching this video a year later. You can always go to hypnosis.org or hypnosiscenter.com and catch my latest classes. Oh, I know, I had this question since last episode. If you're on calbanyan.com, right down here in this area, right down there, right underneath this video is a some text. You can click on that text and get more information about whatever that is. All right, Meredith, let's go through some questions. I think that's what I promised last episode, is we're going to get some questions answered from some of our viewers around the world.
Yes, we like to fulfill those promises, don't we, Cal? So we've got another question from a John, but this is a different John this time. And John, it sounds like, is really interested in finding out a little bit more, digging a little deeper into informing soul technique, which we've covered in in a previous podcast. And so he has a few quiet questions about that. He wants to know, do you think that everyone that wants to have an informing soul technique experience can have it?
The informing soul technique?
Yeah, do you think that everyone can have it? Does it ever happen that you meet a client that just can't regress there?
Okay, very good question. So the informing soul technique, I've just recently, and during this last 12 months or so, actually kind of come out of the closet spiritually, and I'm giving away some of the spiritual techniques that I haven't ever taught before, but that I've used. And one of them is the informing soul technique. And this is kind of my version of the life between life work. And one of the big differences between the informing soul technique work that I teach and some of the other stuff that's floating around there is we are very, very precise, and we are very, very careful not to lead or suggest things happen that don't just come from our clients. So one of the things I can say is, so far, everyone I've ever done the informing soul technique with has had the experience. I need to probably take about 20 or 30 seconds to explain what that is. The informing soul technique, you've heard, if you're following the podcast, you've heard me talk about it before, so I'm just going to give you a thumbnail sketch. What it is, what are the two most important days of your life? The day you were born and the day you find out why you were born. And we can, if we take someone into a really deep level of hypnosis, at least full somnambulism or profound somnambulism, we can take someone before they entered into this body and connect with the soul as it was preparing to go into this body. Now that aspect of the individual knows why they're coming in. And we can ask very important questions such as, gosh, why are you coming into this life? Gosh, how is it that you have these parents? How come you're in this situation? We can get that information. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that, but so far, everyone I've ever done that with has been able to get there and get that information. Now, I believe that I may run across a client in the future where they won't get that information. And that is in the case that somehow it serves the soul to not know why they've come in. And I don't know why that would be, but it's possible that the soul of the individual will refuse to divulge that information because it is in the best interest of my client from the perspective of the soul that he or she does not know why they're coming in. But so far, everyone that I've ever worked with that has received that information, let me give you how we do that. After we get this information about why they're coming in, maybe why they have those parents, or why they're born at that country, or at this time in history, we can then have the soul inform the child as soon as the child is born. That's what we call it, the informing soul technique, not informed soul, informing soul technique, because we can have the knowledge of the soul transferred to the child when the child is born. We will have the grown-up aspect of the client observe that or otherwise benefit from that information. And what happens is we often can change that feeling of anger or fear or whatever it is that's associated with the problem into, get this, gratitude. Because they find out that the challenges they met in that lifetime were agreed upon with the individuals that they interact with. And what does that mean? Well, let's say, in the past episode, I talked about the mother that never said, I love you. The informing soul technique, we can find out that I'll say, how come you're choosing this mother? And the soul will say, well, this is going to be a kind of a cold, distant mother that never says, I love you. And I'll say, well, how do you benefit from that? Or why are you setting it up in that way? And the soul can say, well, I'm going to benefit in a certain way, or my mother is going to benefit from it in a certain way. And they'll always find that there's a benefit from these difficult circumstances that we go through in our life. And what happens is, when you make a contract with someone and they keep it, the proper attitude or emotion is not anger or frustration or fear, but gratitude. And it can be hugely transformative. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith? You've been through that process.
Yes, I just love the informing soul technique, and I use it with the majority of my clients. Of course, those who are spiritual people, those who mark on their intake form that they are a spiritual person. And, you know, I've continued to sense in our pre-hypnosis interview that it would be helpful for them. And to go through it, it's so powerful, because it's not just the information that you get, but it's that feeling of vastness, that feeling of what it feels like to not be limited by the thoughts in human form and your physical body, and that feeling of being just totally loved and connected and powerful. And gosh, there's not a whole lot you can't do when you feel that way. And so having that experience, it's kind of like taking someone into a future event in age regression. Once you go through that experience of feeling how vast and how powerful and how unencumbered you actually are in reality, you take that into your life, and it kind of makes you feel like there's nothing you can't do.
Beautiful. Now, in my normal certification course, in my Week of Power, I go, which is our advanced hypnotherapy course, offer that about once or twice a year. I'll put a link to the information down below. I go over these in just a little bit of detail, but really the way to learn how to do the informing soul technique is I have a DVD course, and you actually get to watch Meredith go through the informing soul technique, in addition to one other wonderful volunteer. Good. Anything else? Seems like we answered that question adequately.
It did, but you know what? John has more. So he's just really interested in this informing soul technique. To take it a step further, he's saying, from your experience, is there a regression technique for the informing soul technique that's actually better, or do they basically all work equally well? And so I think he's referring to some of the different techniques that you mention in that training, and one of which would be that you would, if you're doing it isolated and apart from age regression, that you might want to regress them to other times in their life where they were wondering about their purpose, and, you know, in this lifetime, and then bridge into the time before coming into this body in between lives. And so he's wondering, you know, is that the one that works best? Are there, which ones tend to work best?
Client. And for example, I use the informing soul technique with almost all of my clients who have a concept of a soul, or that the soul pre-existed the physical body. And so when, here's kind of an insider tip, trick, and technique, in addition to it, to doing the informed child technique, whenever I think it's going to suit the client, so I will do the informing soul. So I happen to have this chart from when we were doing age regression, but we've got, you know, we'll have the person when they're grown up, 40 years old, and we'll go back through the SSEs, and then what I would do is I would go back to before they came into this body. So I could very well integrate this into 5-PATH or any kind of age regression work. And so what happens is there's a feeling inside them that they don't like that has something to do with the issue. I regress on that emotion, follow it back to where it started, get the informed child technique work, and then I can even go back farther and have the soul inform the child too. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is I have people that come in and they just want to do the informing soul technique. And so what I will do is I'll ask them why they want to do the informing soul technique. And it's usually they want to know about their life's purpose, and they've always kind of wondered about their life's purpose, or they feel like they're drifting, they're not doing anything important. So what I'll do is I'll simply put them into a deep or profound state of somnambulism, and then what we'll do is we will regress them to earlier times in their life where they really felt like they wished they knew what they were doing. They wished they knew why they were here. And then at that point, we can then regress them to before they came into the body, and we can do the informing work. How's that sound?
Sounds great. And he actually kind of has another way that he's wondering if it's okay. He's saying, would it be okay if I simply ask the client to regress to an earlier time where he or she felt strong, happy feelings, get them to focus on those feelings and follow those back, then pushing into the time before. He's saying, if I'm doing it separately from 5-Path, why not make the regression process a happy one?
You know, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. For example, sometimes when I do regression with someone, if I feel like they're going to be resistant about regression because of the emotional component as being very negative, I might actually do a technique like this. I say, in a moment, I'm going to count from 3 back to 1, and you're going to have a memory of being around water. 3, 2, 1. And when that memory of being around water comes up, just raise your finger and nod your head. Good. I'm going to count from 3 back to 1. When I get to 1, you're going to have a memory. Now, this is not age regression, of being on a swing or around a swing. Could be your swing, friend's swing, school swing, park swing. And bring up positive memories like that. Maybe a bicycle. And then what I'll do is I'll regress them. I say, now I'm going to count from 3 back to 1, and you're going to go back to one of those times, either around water, on a swing, or around a bicycle. And we'll go back to there, and I'll have them revivify, kind of just a practice in a very positive way to experience the age regression, the revivification, the reliving. And I think if I think they would benefit from additional practice of really just getting into the reliving, I can take them to one of the other. If they went to a bicycle time, I can then suggest that they go to the water time or to the swing set time. Just let them practice a little bit. Might even take them to one of the happiest times in their life, like a birthday or a celebration or a time when they get a good grade. Regress them, let them practice it, let them really get into it, and then do the regression all the way back to before they came into the body. Gosh, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, he's got a lot of questions about this process, and it can be kind of complicated, or there are a lot of options, and so it's great to kind of, you know, flesh it out and find the different options, and so I hope that answered all of his questions effectively. It feels like it did to me, so thank you, Cal.
All right.
Anything else about that before we move on to another question?
Gosh, you know, I'm just really happy with the informing soul technique. And some people say, well, isn't this like, you know, life between life stuff? And I'll say, yeah, there's other techniques that are life between life. But as you study the informing soul technique, as I teach it, we're very strict about not leading the client into having some experience. Like, we don't tell them, go to the hall of wisdom or go to this time or that time, because they can just confabulate it. I believe that, and this is my belief, okay? I believe that anything that can serve the soul or the higher good or God or Delta or whatever you care, however you conceptualize that, can happen. Anything that serves. And so in that preparing of the client to come into this life, whatever the Almighty wants to do for that individual can be done, because that's why we call God the Almighty. And so I'm very careful to be non-directive in that part, so that that person can experience, an unguided experience that comes totally from within. Okay, so that's one of the main differences in case someone gets confused between informing soul technique and some other form of thing like that. Good, you got another question? We can maybe get a hypno quickie in because I think we've got like about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I do. And I think this one will be quick. And it was a perfect segue too because you're talking about leading and how we want to always make sure that we're not leading. And this is a question, an anonymous question. I don't know who sent it in, but they want to know about leading. And so when you are at an SSE, and the subsequent sensitizing event, and you ask, is it familiar or new, as you're getting to the end of your fantastic five questions, and the client says new. And then what you want to do, because we don't want to lead, is we want to say, in a moment, I'm going to touch you on the head three times, and when I get to the third time, you'll be at the first time you ever felt this way. And this person wants to ask, how is that not leading? Because if you've got a person who is trying to please you or trying to give you what you want, and they think by you saying, when I get to the third time, you'll be at the first time, kind of insinuating that they're not at the first time, will they confabulate or won't they confabulate a situation in that instance? So how is that actually not leading? This person wants to know.
Okay, so just to kind of clarify this, now, leading is when you suggest to someone something that didn't happen. For example, if someone comes in and says, I don't know, but maybe I was molested by my uncle when I was younger. And then the hypnotist takes the client in deep hypnosis and suggests to him, now you're going to go back to that time when you were molested by your uncle. Now, there's a possibility that the person could make up the event, completely confabulate it. In fact, they might even have imagined in the regular normal waking state before they came to you what those events might have been. And then they will live those events as if they had happened, and it would be stored as a false memory. We don't want to do that. In an early episode, I talked about don't have people go through an ISE as it didn't happen and just make up a new history. That stuff doesn't last. So we want to be as non-directive as possible when we're regressing, except for when we have evidence that an earlier event happened. So when we're going back through the SSEs, we're going to ask the fantastic five questions. What's happening? How old are you? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And then, is this feeling familiar or new? Especially if we're doing affect bridge, because we're bridging back on the emotion. Affect, emotion, same thing. Now, when we go back, each time we ask if it's familiar or new, when they say it's new, that's not always a credible answer. For example, if they've regressed to the 5-year-old state or 4-year-old state, what those little curtain-climbing, crumb-snatching lawn monsters say is unreliable because they're speaking from the childhood aspect of their mind. The child may say something to you because, gosh, it's just the first thing that popped into their head. It might be something they think is going to get them some praise or benefit, or, 4 or 5-year-old aspect of the individual may think that saying this thing may keep them from getting in trouble. Because remember, you're dealing with the regressed aspect, the childhood aspect of the individual. So then, as I'm regressing backwards, each time I counted backwards. And so the very act of counting backwards implies very, very powerfully with that repetition that counting backwards means go backwards. So that's why I'm very careful when the person says that the feeling is new and associated with this event, that what I say is, good, I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times. Instead of saying 3 back to 1, I say, I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times. That way I don't suggest going backwards in time. I say, I'm going to touch you on the head 3 times, and you will be at the very first time you felt this way. And because we're eliminating the counting backwards, and we're also not saying go back to an earlier time. You see, when someone is in hypnosis, they're extremely literal. And when you say go back, they're going to go back. If you said go back as I count to three, back to one, then the very act of counting three back to one becomes associated with the act of going back. So then when I change to, good, I'm going to touch you on the head three times. If the third time I touch you, you'll be at the very first time. And so they're in this literal state. And if the event we were just visited was the first time, that's where they'll go. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And in my experience, that's worked out very well. As a matter of fact, the most interesting thing is, using that technique, I've found that we will typically go back one, two, or three more times after they've said it's new. And it's worked really well. And I'm so glad that that's the way I do it now, because before I figured that out, I would just stick with the feeling is new. And over again, I believe that in those early days, I was really missing the true ISE. And it's important that you get the ISE, because the ISE, initial sensitizing event, the event that had, that started it all, is like the seed. And we need to unplant that seed. And that's why we do that. Does that kind of make it plain there, Meredith?
I think that covers it beautifully. And, you know, I actually have wondered that myself at times. And, you know, so I'm so glad that someone, you know, was willing to write in and kind of challenge the Kalbanian. I love it.
Yeah, so basically it has to do with the literal state of mind that someone is in the state of somnambulism. They're hanging on every word, state of contention, and so you have to be very careful with your words. And that's why I say that just like going through our 10 keys to forgiveness is not sufficient training to be a good age regression hypnotist or hypnotherapist. You need to go through good training and maybe some supervision as to do it really well.
Yeah, and I experience it both ways, Cal. You know, sometimes people do go to other things, maybe even several times. They'll go to an earlier event after saying new several times, and then other times they just bounce right back to the same thing, and they'll kind of seem a little baffled sometimes, as if maybe they weren't supposed to do that, and all I have to do is just say good, and then we work off of that, you know, take them to before that time, and verify that it is indeed the ISE.
Fantastic. Well, that's it. I think we've gone around 25 minutes, something like that. It's time to wrap it up. Why don't you take it away, Meredith?
Great. Thanks for tuning in. Definitely looking forward to new questions. Looking forward to you guys tuning in the future to our hypnospace.com, to the chat, and watching us do this live. Like, we've got John Hall online right now joining us. Very exciting. And thanks for your time. Looking forward to more fun in the future. Signing off.
Cool. And you know what? If you send in a question and we use it on the show, you can get a Hypnosis Pro mug or hat. And guess what? All you do is watch the show and say, hey, you've used my question. And send us, and of course, you have to actually, you know, had us use your question. And give us your address, and we'll send you a little reward for helping us out. Okay, that's it. Remember, all my classes, hypnosiscenter.com, everything about hypnosis, include a hypnosis directory. You can get your name listed for free on hypnosis.org. That's O-R-G, because we organize the world of hypnosis for you. Make sure that you get on our hypnospace, be part of the community, be involved in the groups, and visit the new NGH website, and that is at thehypnotistconvention.com. That's it. Cal Banyan, over and out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.